Who is the current Speaker of the House?
Don't even know.
Will they rule in the president's favor, or will they send it to the Supreme Court?
You can't refer to a senator directly by their name.
Congressional redistricting.
Separation of power.
Executive orders.
The National Security Council.
Civics 101.
I'm Virginia Prescott, and this is Civics 101, the podcast refresher course on some of the things that you might have missed or slept through in civics class. We've received a number of questions about obstruction of justice, and that's a term that's been swirling around in the headlines recently. We're digging into what that means and the thorny questions of how to prove it with Brianne Gorod, chief counsel at the Constitutional Accountability Center. Brianne, great to have you back in class.
Well, thank you for having me.
So what does that charge, obstruction of justice, mean?
Sure. Well, there are a number of provisions of federal law that make it a crime, a criminal offense, to interfere with an official investigation. So some of these statutes prohibit interference with specific types of investigations. Others prohibit interference in specific ways. So you can destroy documents. You can try to get a witness not to testify. And there are three particular obstruction of justice statutes that have been getting a lot of attention now because each of them seems like they might at least potentially be implicated by President Trump's interactions with former FBI Director James Comey.
Okay, so you said official investigations. Does this apply only to public officials, or could normal citizens also be charged with obstruction of justice?
Yeah, this applies to everyone. You know, each of these statutes, you know, essentially makes it a crime to corruptly influence, obstruct, or impede, or endeavor to influence, obstruct, or impede an official or pending proceeding. So what the official, what that term refers to here, is not the person who's engaging in the obstruction of justice, but to what they are trying to obstruct. So essentially, there has to be a judicial proceeding or a proceeding pending before a U.S. department or agency or before Congress. And what exactly each of the statutes requires, you know, depends on the specific language in the statute itself.
Give us some examples of obstruction of justice.
Right. So it could be destroying documents that would be necessary to help prove a case in court. It could be trying to get a witness not to testify, either by threatening the witness or even killing the witness. Or it could be trying to get an official not to pursue an investigation that is going to be going forward in court.
Now, obstruction of justice is a felony offense, right?
That's right.
It's a federal crime.
It's a federal crime subject to imprisonment and fines.
All right. So you said at first, corruptly try to influence or interfere. How do you prove corruptly trying? I mean, that's about intent, correct?
That's right. And that's often an important question across a lot of federal criminal statutes. The question is, you know, what state of mind did the defendant have when they took the action? And in this context, what this means is, you know, did the person act with an improper purpose? And that can be difficult to prove. But what's important to remember is that prosecutors can look at both direct and circumstantial evidence. Let's get a little concrete. You know, obviously, there have been a lot of speculation about whether President Trump may have engaged in obstruction of justice when he either told James Comey that he hoped he could drop the investigation into the former NSA director, Michael Flynn, or when he fired Comey. So, you know, what are things that prosecutors might look at to determine whether the president was acting with an improper purpose? You know, they might look at, you know, evidence about when he took the actions and how he took the actions. So, for example, the fact that James Comey has said he asked everyone to leave the room before asking whether he could see to, you know, let Michael Flynn go. That might be a relevant factor. Statements the president has made about why he acted might be relevant. You know, we have statements that he made to Lester Holt, for example, that, you know, when he decided to fire James Comey, he was thinking this Russia thing is a made up story. So there's lots of different types of evidence that prosecutors might be able to look at. And then, you know, that would ultimately, if this were to go forward to a jury and there are questions about whether you can, in fact, indict a sitting president. But if it were, that would ultimately be a question for the jurors to decide.
Yeah, more on that, please, because there is a prevailing view that the sitting president cannot be charged with a criminal offense. But as I've been looking into this, not everybody is in agreement with that. Where's the line?
This is really an open question. You know, the Office of Legal Counsel in the Department of Justice, that's, you know, the office that basically provides binding opinions on legal and constitutional questions for the executive branch. Well, it has twice said that a president, a sitting president, can't be indicted, can't be prosecuted while he's in office. You know, they've acknowledged, I think, that it's a difficult question, but they've said that to do that would impermissibly interfere with the president's ability to carry out his constitutionally assigned functions. And while there are important considerations on the other side, you know, obviously the president is not supposed to be above the law, they said that the importance of his responsibilities and his ability to carry out those responsibilities outweighs the important consideration that no one should be above the law. But there's definitely an argument on the other side. You know, there are people who have said that the principle that no one is above the law is an incredibly important one. And, you know, the fact that there may be some interference with the president's duties can't override that. You know, people have also pointed to the 25th Amendment, which is a provision that allows the president to essentially step aside if he's not able to fulfill his responsibilities. And this is a question that, you know, we don't have a court decision on. I mean, it may be one that we don't get a court decision on. You know, Special Prosecutor Bob Mueller is, I think most would agree, likely bound by OLC's view. But that doesn't mean that his conclusions won't be critically important. You know, even if he decides that he cannot bring an indictment against the president, you know, if he were to conclude that the president engaged in obstruction of justice, that could also be very important to members of Congress who may be trying to decide whether impeachment is an appropriate avenue.
OLC, Office of Legal Counsel.
That's right.
So have there been examples or notable examples of obstruction of justice cases in the United States that can be instructive as we're looking at this and other cases?
Sure. Well, there have been lots of obstruction of justice cases involving all sorts of people and all sorts of proceedings. And I think, you know, a couple of things are key. One, there doesn't have to be a direct order. And that's something that some people have suggested. Oh, there couldn't be obstruction of justice here because the president didn't order James Comey to stop the Michael Flynn investigation. And what a number of cases have made clear is that you don't need to have that kind of direct command, especially in a context where it is someone who has the power of the presidency. The suggestion that the president hopes that James Comey could see his way clear to let Michael Flynn go, that kind of influence could be sufficient to constitute obstruction of justice. You know, another thing that is clear from the case law and from the statutes themselves is that the fact that the investigation is ongoing, that also doesn't mean that there wasn't obstruction of justice. You know, it's baked into the statutes themselves that someone who endeavors to influence or obstruct has committed a crime, even if they're not ultimately successful.
You said three statutes are in play with this case now. Could you explain what that means?
Sure. So there are a number of different criminal provisions that each make obstruction of justice a crime, but they do it in different ways. They might prohibit certain specific actions or prohibit interference with certain specific types of proceedings. So there's one provision. This is in Title 18 of the U.S. Code, 18 U.S.C. 1503, that prohibits obstruction of a pending judicial proceeding. So, you know, if, for example, there is a grand jury investigation and someone knew about that grand jury investigation and tried to interfere with it, that could run afoul of Section 1503. There's Section 1505, which prohibits interference with a pending proceeding before a U.S. department or agency. And there's been a lot of questions about whether an FBI investigation would count. Some people say yes, some people say no, and that's a question there's not resolution on. And then there's Section 1512, which is another broad provision that prohibits interference with investigations, judicial, congressional, or before a federal agency. And what's really key about that provision is it makes explicit that the proceeding doesn't need to be pending. So if someone takes some action to obstruct a proceeding that they think may take place in the future, that too can run afoul of the clause.
So the special counsel that is overseeing the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 elections, they have widened the scope of their probe, including whether or not President Trump obstructed justice when firing James Comey as FBI director, something that you made clear earlier. Who would bring that case?
Right. So, you know, it's not clear that that case can be brought while President Trump is in office. Special Prosecutor Mueller has the authority that's clear in his charge that he can prosecute federal crimes arriving from his investigation. And so that means that he could, in theory, prosecute anyone who engaged in obstruction of justice or who he believed engaged in obstruction of justice. But there is this, you know, question about whether the president, while he is sitting, can be indicted. If Mueller concluded that he cannot be or that he is bound by prior Department of Justice opinions that say that a sitting president cannot be, then the president could still be prosecuted after he leaves office. Those conclusions would also be presumably very important to Congress as it determines whether to pursue impeachment. And it's worth noting that the Constitution itself is quite clear that after impeachment, a president can be prosecuted.
Pulling back from the case that's now, you know, swirling around in the headlines, a person could conceivably be accused of and found guilty of obstructing justice, but not even the crime that they were originally charged for, correct?
That's absolutely right. You know, it's cliche at this point to say it, but sometimes it's true that the cover-up is worse than the crime, and that can certainly be the case. You know, someone could try to obstruct a proceeding, even if the underlying proceeding might ultimately come to nothing. It's, of course, also the case that sometimes the cover-up isn't worse than the crime, that people engage in a cover-up because there is a real crime. And so one thing that I think everyone will be watching as Special Prosecutor Mueller's investigation proceeds is not only what he might be concluding about obstruction of justice, but, of course, what he might also be concluding about any links and or coordination between the Russian government and the campaign. That was, of course, an important part of his charge and what initially gave rise to his appointment in the first place.
So what would be the end game of obstruction of justice charges brought against Donald Trump? I mean, as you said, it's not very clear if he could remain in office or even be charged if convicted.
You know, I think the end game is, you know, one, it's very important to the American people to know what happened and whether the president is complying with the law. And that's true whether he can be indicted while he's in office or not. You know, the Constitution gives Congress the power to impeach for, among other things, high crimes and misdemeanors. Obstruction of justice is often an important part of impeachment charges against a president. It wasn't part of the impeachment charges against President Nixon. It was a part of the impeachment charges against President Clinton. And so, you know, what Mueller concludes, regardless of whether or not he actually indicts the president now, I think will be very important as we move forward.
So what are you watching for, Brianna, as special counsel for the Constitutional Accountability Center? More is definitely going to be revealed about this case. What are you keeping an eye on?
You know, I think we're learning more and more about potential coordination between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. That, of course, raises, you know, possible campaign finance violations and other violations of federal law. So, you know, we're watching to see what happens with that. And I think, you know, we'll also learn as this investigation proceeds more about the president's interactions with James Comey and with other senior officials and whether he was, in fact, trying to obstruct justice. You know, no one is above the law, and that very much includes the president.
Brianna Garrod, Chief Counsel at the Constitutional Accountability Center, thank you so much for schooling us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
All right then, class dismissed. Today's episode was produced by Molly Donahue. Music from Broke for Free. If you're looking for an unobstructed understanding of civics, sign up for Extra Credit. That's our weekly newsletter. It's a fast track to becoming a teacher's pet, with supplemental reading lists for topics that we've covered, pop quizzes to see how much you've retained, and ideas on remaining an engaged citizen. And it looks great, all delivered to your email box. There's a link to sign up for Extra Credit at civics101podcast.org. That's where you can also send us your questions about the fundamentals of democracy. Chances are good we'll use it for a future episode. I'm Virginia Prescott. Civics 101 is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio.